The summer of synergy continues with the Garden State Invitational Tournament, live on Fight TV Saturday, July the 25th. M-Dog Matt Cross, Gary J, Myron Reed, Jordan Oliver, Tony Deppen, Gregory Iron, KTB, and Simon Gotch compete for GSI supremacy. Plus, Frightmare defends the Synergy Pro Wrestling Championship against Deshaun Pratt, and Ellis Taylor, Casey Cattell, and TJ Crawford collide to find out who will wear the Cruiserweight crown. All on Fight TV, streaming live around the world, Saturday, July the 25th at 7 p.m. Eastern. All this for just $9.99. Who will win the second annual GSI? Tune in live and find out. For more information, log on to synergywrestling.com.
Welcome to the DDT Archives. I'm your host, Chris. With me, as always, is my best friend, my tag team partner in podcasting, and everyone's best friend, Greg. Greg, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, my man. How are you today?
I am doing awesome because our guest tonight in the Indie Lounge is who I will say is the premier cruiserweight in the East Coast today. He is the Windy City Kid, TJ Crawford. What's going on, TJ?
What's going on, guys? Thank you for having me. And the premier cruiserweight in the East Coast. It's a lot of pressure, but I think I can live up to it.
I just like giving the intros that people deserve. Like, I feel that you deserve that credit.
I appreciate it.
You know, there was no grabbing the tights to get a pinfall to get you into the crown match. Like, no big deal.
Of course not. Never.
Why would? Come on. It's only added leverage. No big deal. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Look, Eddie Guerrero held the tights all the time, and everybody loved him. So,
well, you got nothing but love and support coming to you from the archives. I promise you that. Tell us a little bit about your wrestling journey. You know, where did it start? I know you came over from Chicago to train in New Jersey, so you have a unique story.
Yes. So when I was in college, I was only there for about 3 months. And then after 3 months, I kind of realized that I didn't want to do school anymore. I wasn't fit for the college like lifestyle. So I just kind of decided that I was going to go start my training a little earlier than I had planned. Luckily that my mom and my dad were very supportive of me going to do it. I looked up a few schools and I came across Creative Pro New Jersey, which is where I ended up training at. And it was probably the best decision I ever made. I made so many like good friends over the past 4 years that I've been there. I couldn't ask for better training and a better group of guys to lead me in the right path. So.
And we continue to hear nothing but great stuff about Creative Pro. I know Pat's trying to revamp the system in New Jersey, and we're going to leave that one alone. But just the core guys that come from that group, you guys all have this work ethic that really is second to none. And it's very clear that you all, not only are you great performers, but you all come out of there loving the business. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, especially the guys that I got to train with, Anthony Bowens, Bobby Wayward, Matt McIntosh, you know, LSG, guys like that, guys who have the same passion that I do, and especially someone like Anthony Bowens, who is a close family friend of mine. His mom grew up with my dad, so we have some sort of like kind of family connection, but not really family connection. Our families are just very close, so me and him kind of bonded very fast. And man, I talk Anthony Bowens probably every single day, and it's just we have so many plans for our future in wrestling, and like we just want to be the two best wrestlers we can be, and not just the best wrestlers on the East Coast. We want to be the two best wrestlers in the world. So we strive every day to try to get to that.
I think that's key, having one, that support system of having that family friend in there, but also to push each other. You know, Bowens is a guy that we would love to get on. We have not been able to successfully make contact, so we may have to talk to you privately when this is over to get that done. But he's a guy that is just got the look, is fantastic in the ring, motivates an entire group of guys. Talk about those people that you look up to within that locker room at Creative Pro.
The guys that I'd mentioned, Anthony Bowens, Bobby McIntosh, Alex G, those are the guys that I look up to most in the locker room. Especially because me and Anthony Bowens are kind of close in age. So we kind of have the same mindset when it comes to certain things. Someone like Bobby Wayward, who's a little bit older than us, or at least older than myself, can drop more knowledge of just forget wrestling, just life knowledge in general. So those guys I look up to so much just because I've connected with them so much. And guys like who aren't even in wrestling anymore, like Mark Carino, when he was part of the Heavenly Bodies, was somebody who, when I first joined, literally just allowed me to sit down with him for hours and just watch wrestling. And just he would just sit there and tell me everything I needed to know about wrestling within the first like 3 months of my training. So I'm like incredibly thankful for someone like that. So someone who didn't have to take the time out of his day to give me advice, who went out of his way to sit down and give me advice. So I'm forever thankful for that.
What are your plans now? Like as we slowly start seeing shows come back, you know, what are your goals for the rest of 2020 and looking into that 2021?
I mean, it's kind of hard to tell right now you never know when everything's going to kind of come back. You don't know how long these shows could even be running. You never know if something happens in the next couple months, everything needs to go back, shut down. I pray that that's not the case, but, you know. So I'm kind of just taking everything day by day. I'm not really trying to set any concrete goals for the future right now, just because it's so uncertain and we're not sure where everything's going to go. So I'm kind of taking everything day by day. Right now, the only thing on my mind is winning the Cruiserweight Crown on Saturday. With Casey and Ellis. So
you talked about sitting down and watching wrestling with Mark Carino. Who else do you sit down and watch matches with and kind of pick their brain on different things?
It all just kind of depends on who's around and who I'm with. If I'm traveling, it just depends who I'm traveling with. I travel with Bear Country a lot, so I get a chance to sit down with them and watch a lot of matches with them. Bear Bronson has a different mindset than I do. And he also has a different mindset as his own tag team partner, Bear Beefcake, who I'm very close friends with. So sitting down with them and getting able to watch wrestling with them and seeing what they're into, how they would go about like looking at certain things. Like I enjoy watching wrestling with just like all different kinds of guys, because you never know what somebody might be into that you suddenly just fall in love with. Randomly, so yeah, I'll watch wrestling all day. I can't even if I had to pick one thing to just watch for the rest of my life, I'd just pick wrestling, and I'd just watch everything all over and over again.
What are some of your go-tos, like matches or performers?
Ooh, I can probably watch the entire WrestleMania 19 card on repeat. I think when people ask me about my favorite WrestleManias, I always say 19. Mysterio and Matt Hardy in the opener for the Cruiserweight title. You got Jericho and Michaels. You have Brock and Angle in the main. You have Hogan McMahon. You have Rock Austin. Like, everyone says 17 is the greatest WrestleMania ever, but I'm gonna debate that and say 19.
I think 17, 18, 19 are maybe the best trio of them. Like, if 3 years in a row, if you can put that in a bubble to introduce somebody to WrestleMania, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely agree with that.
I think there are individual matches on 17 that put it up, but I think from start to finish on the card. 19 is very, very good. It was definitely, it wasn't my favorite of the trilogy with Rock and Austin. 17 was. So in that that regard, I kind of would lean that way, just because they were two of my favorites at that time period. But yeah, you can't go wrong with any of those matches on that card. Obviously, as a younger guy, how far back do you study? Like, who are some of like the guys maybe from the 80s and early 90s that you look at and kind of take things from?
And I mean, I'll go back and watch. I watch a lot of like All Japan from the 90s. I watch a lot of New Japan, like when the Super Junior Cup was like the first started with Tiger Mask and all those guys. I enjoy watching like Bruno Sammartino matches and Pedro Morales. You know, those are guys that my dad grew up watching. So like, especially when I'm home, I get to sit down and watch wrestling with him. So we kind of will watch like some of that stuff because I know he's more into that style. I love going back and watching like the like early 80s, early 90s, like New Japan stuff.
You talk about going back home. You know, you're a Chicago kid. We'd be remiss not to talk about the Chicago Bulls and their influence on you, because the previous two times that we've talked, your Bulls hat was front and center. So let's talk a little bit Chicago Bulls in the heyday.
I wish I was alive for all of it, because I mean I'm only 23, so I was born in 97. So I was a baby when it was all going down. But luckily we had The Last Dance that just came out. So when I was back home in Chicago, when all this lockdown stuff started, was when The Last Dance was on. And I made sure that I stayed the entire time to watch it with my mom, watch it with my dad. It's funny because we watch it with my dad, who's a Knicks fan, like, and every time the Bulls would beat the Knicks, me and my mom were always screaming at him. Me and my dad would go to Bulls Knicks games growing up at the United Center all the time. You know, he'd be the only Knicks fan in the entire building. And my dad has MS, muscular sclerosis, so he walks with his cane. So when we're leaving the building, he's walking a lot slower than everybody else. And it's even funnier when the Bulls win, because he's walking slow, so everyone gets to heckle him even more on the way out. So I enjoy it. That's my favorite part about going to the Bulls Knicks games with him.
I got to tell you, as a Knicks fan myself, when it comes to great sports rivalries that are completely one-sided, that one comes to mind for me, because They only got over the hump with them once in 94 when Jordan was playing baseball, and I just felt like it never counted, because they never were able to beat them. But those two teams hated each other. And that's when basketball was better. Now it's like everyone's buddy-buddy. Baseball's the same way too. Everyone's buddy-buddy. They all want to play with each other. That's fine. When you talk about, that's the best era of the NBA, is the 80s to the 80s and 90s, when those teams, they had real rivalries, they hated each other's guts, they wanted you to bleed. Forget about it. That is it's none of this ticky-tack nonsense now where you sniffle near a guy and they call a foul. You're throwing clotheslines down the lane. It was the best.
I wouldn't have wanted to play against the Pistons. Like, I would not have wanted to play in that game or any of the series, for that matter.
That's a great documentary too. That's a great 30 for 30, yeah, the Bad Boys.
30 for 30 on the Pistons is really good. I'm a huge basketball fan, so all this I'm really loving.
I'll tell you what, the Celtics and the Knicks were no joke when it comes to physicality either. No. You know, the Celtics with Parrish and McHale, who were just huge dudes, and then Oakley, McDaniel, Ewing for the Knicks. I mean, I was never a big NBA guy. I know Greg had his heart broken a lot with the NBA.
Ooh, too many times.
You know, it was enjoyable to watch because they played all facets of the game. Like right now, I don't – like, yeah, you'll get an occasional guy D somebody up, but it's not consistent throughout a game, and that loses my interest. Yeah. Like, I'm a football guy. So to me, like, defense is super important. And right. Then you watch basketball, and they're just like, just let them shoot so we can get another shot down the field. And it's like, this is why I don't like Oregon.
But you know, it's funny when you talk about watching The Last Dance with your family. That's like for Chris and I watching the Yankees documentaries about Reggie Jackson in like the 70s, because we weren't around for that. We don't remember. We weren't alive. We weren't totally in it, but we can go back and see it and appreciate like the character and the fun that those teams had. Right. And I listen, like, as much as I hated those Bulls teams, they were fun to watch and they were must-see TV when they were on all the time. You had to watch Michael Jordan play. You had to see him. And it was just such a great time to be a fan.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it's hard. It'll be hard for me to ever say that anybody's better than Jordan. And I know it's biased because that's when I grew up watching. But just nobody, I will say this, nobody has ever had the killer instinct that Michael Jordan had.
Yeah,
Michael Jordan didn't care if you were his best friend or his worst enemy. He'll slit your throat if it means he wins. Yeah, and you don't see that.
That's what I think puts him above the rest of, like, in the talks of greatest of all time. That's just what makes him number one, is having that killer instinct to do that.
You know, like,
but he had
to. All against LeBron, super talented, but I don't see that.
Because, like, all those guys before him had it. That was the thing. Bird had it. Like, I wouldn't mess with Larry Bird. That guy was a disaster to try and guard. He would call shots. The Celtics Lakers documentary, the three parter. There's a guy that talks about him that he said there's an inbound pass. Bird literally told him what he was gonna do, and he did it. The amount of, like, confidence and talent that you have to pull that kind of crap off.
Yeah, right.
You can't
tell somebody that, you do can't, this. You can't do it to them.
Yeah, you can't describe that at all. There's no way you can even fathom it. And Jordan had that. The only one that came after Jordan that came close was Kobe, because he had to be him.
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, growing up, I hated the Lakers. I hated the Lakers. I hated the Celtics. I pretty much hated every team that wasn't the Bulls because the Bulls lost all the time. So I just hated everybody. But I was not a big fan, like, Kobe fan growing up. But I always appreciated how good he actually was. Just because I didn't like him didn't mean he wasn't, like, the second greatest to ever play.
You see, that's the best part of true fans, is being able to realize that. Like, I hate the people that just make arguments, well, I just don't like him. Well, what don't you like about it? Same thing with wrestling fans today. Everybody's quick to say what they don't like. Look, I know what I'm not going to like, and guess what? I'm not going to turn it on until it's something I want to watch, yeah. which will bring us back to the wrestling. Let's talk a little bit about Synergy, because we got our first glimpse of it on the 7-Eleven show, and we said it to Colin, you know, I've said it to LSG privately. It is some of the best independent wrestling that I have seen. Like, those cards are stacked. Talk a little bit about that locker room and how it kind of, everybody wants to be better than the guy before them.
Yeah, I mean, the Synergy locker room, I think, is one of the better locker rooms on the East, like, at least on the East Coast. You know, again, you have guys like Matt McIntosh, guys like LSG, guys like Jordan Oliver has now become, like, a member of the Synergy roster. You got, like veteran guys. You have, like, Brandon Kirk, somebody who you can talk to for advice. Kyle LaBeast, who you could talk to for advice. I mean, I got to wrestle Kyle, I think it was, what was it, last year, 2 years ago. No, it was last year. It was last year. I got to wrestle Kyle at the Synergy 10 event last year. And, man, that was, like, such a cool experience getting to wrestle Kyle. He is somebody who is, like, a true locker room leader. So being able to work with him was really fun. There's so many guys in the locker room that I haven't gotten a chance to do anything with yet. I would love to work with. I know the Whisper is just, like, now becoming, like, a core Synergy guy. I would love to get a chance to work with him. Matt Vertigo, I would love to get a chance to work with him. I'll sit here all day. I would love to just work with everybody in the Synergy locker room, because that's how good of a locker room it actually is. So,
it just came across on television that everybody was enjoying the fact that they were there. You know, the crowd, while small, they were all engaged throughout. The performers were excited to be out there. And you don't see that in every indie promotion. Like, we've seen a lot of great matches being sent to us from performers when we're going to do interviews, but you don't see the crowd involvement.
Right.
And in a post-quarantine crowd where there's only, 40 people in the building?
Yeah, about what they had for the 11th show.
You wouldn't know it because they were so engaged from start to finish. You know, yeah. And to Colin's credit, he paced that show perfectly. Like, we said it in our post show that it was, you never had that lull. There was no match that was like, oh, well, I can run upstairs and use the bathroom. It was, I want to watch this the whole time through. And that's a compliment to you guys, because everybody keeps working hard, and that's awesome for us.
I was trying to put my son to bed that night, and my wife had to drag me away. I was watching on my iPad. My wife had to drag me away from my iPad. We got to put the kid to bed. Come on. And I was like, wait, can you just wait 1 second? Because you couldn't step away. I'm just so looking forward to seeing more from that company and seeing more from you and the matches coming up, that it's so exciting to have it right here in our backyard. Because it's close for us. Chris will be able to tell me how bad the ride is coming up soon, and we'll take it from there.
10 minutes. How bad can it be?
Exactly. That's my point. It can't be that bad. I can't go. My wife is pregnant, TJ, so I don't want to chance it. I want to come, but I just gotta wait a few months.
No, man, I completely understand that.
Yeah, by the time Greg's allowed to go, I'll probably be not allowed to go. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. So we'll change up. It'll be all right. So we talked about basketball. So Chicago's a big sports town. Are you a hockey guy? Are you a baseball guy too? Football? Because the only time I've been in Chicago in my life was during the Blackhawks-Flyers Stanley Cup Final. I was in the city during that finals, and it was like fever pitch. So are you into other sports like that?
Yeah, so I'm not a huge hockey fan, but I do, like, obviously when the Blackhawks were in the finals, I do pay attention to like hockey, football, baseball, at least enough to know what's going on. But I mean, I remember when the Hawks were in the Stanley Cup, and that was like the parade. Man, I just remember the parades. Oh my god, I can't even remember this. A bunch of us went downtown for the parade. I think it was not the first one we won. I think it was the second one, I want to say. But I could be wrong. It might have been the one with the Flyers, the first one.
I think he's rubbing it in that we're Rangers fans and have only seen one cup win.
It's okay.
That's what I just heard.
I have to like remember which one it is you've got. So we've got so many in the last. Anyway, so we go downtown to the parade, and my friend Matt, it's like me, him, and like two other people, and then like our parents are all the way back at the train station. So we're shuffling through everybody to get to the front so we can see the team on the truck, and as the truck is moving down one of the streets, everybody kind of would follow the truck to Millennium Park where they were doing the big like press conference and big like thing, all that. And so we start following it, and we get like maybe like a block or two down. We're like, okay, cool. Like, we have let's turn around. We're gonna go back to the train station, take the train to the park. Our friend Matt is nowhere to be seen. So we're like running around trying to find him, and we look, and he's hanging on the back of the truck that's driving the team, and he's just hanging by like by the ladder, and even the team's like acknowledging the fact that he's there, and it's like we were standing on the platform by the train, looking down at him like hanging on the truck, and we're yelling at him to get off so he can come back with us. It was just like I couldn't believe that. Like, he was just hanging on the truck, and like nobody really cared. They were just like, yeah, it's cool, no problem.
That's amazing. I was down there. It was my cousin's bachelor party for his second marriage. He's working on his third now, and it was the first time I've ever been in that city. and the night of his bachelor party, we went to dinner at Gibson Steakhouse.
Oh, man.
So if the fans don't know what Gibson's is, a very famous place out there. It's also the facade. If you ever watched The League, the old TV show on FX, that's their bar. They just use the outside of it. So we went there for dinner, but we were a group of like 12. We were waiting for our table outside, and out walks all the Flyers. They were having their team dinner there because the game was like the next night.
Yeah.
And it was like the things people were saying to them on the street, and being a Ranger fan, I was just like, ugh, I hate this team so much.
Oh, yeah.
But it was crazy.
Chicago, yeah. It's like, be prepared to get heckled, to heckle them.
Yeah. Oh, of course. But the only championship parade I ever went to was the first time the Giants beat the Patriots, the undefeated Patriots season. I went.
Yeah, I was already back in Chicago at that point.
Yeah,
I was in Chicago at that point already. So I wish I would have been here for that. But I remember watching it in my basement. Me and my dad felt pretty crazy.
It was great.
He actually, let's see if Greg remembers this. I want to say it was 98. It was like senior. It was spring, fall of senior year.
Yeah, I remember.
We actually both cut school to go to the Yankee parade. Saw the line at the bus station, and we're like, nah, fuck that. We're getting sandwiches and watching on TV.
Yeah, we just cut school.
Yeah. I remember, I don't remember what year it was. Like, I can't remember the year, but it was me and my friend Mike when we were still in, like summer camp. We were, like, 12, maybe. And my cousin Zach decided not to go to camp that day. So me and my friend Mike are like, okay, well, we're bored because the three of us would always hang out together, and now my cousin's not here, so let's just leave. So we called my dad. My dad said, yeah, he told the camp counselor we were able to leave, whatever. We walked home, and we decided, like, well, let's go to the White Sox game because I lived right down the street from the stadium. So we figured, why not? Let's go. We were able to get tickets for, like, $5 up in the nosebleed section. So we go to the game, and it turns out it was the Mark Burley perfect game.
Wow.
That we wanted to go to. So it was pretty cool. I got home, and I remember my dad getting very upset with me. He's like, I've gone to baseball games for 40 years and I've never seen a perfect game. You go to like your fifth baseball game ever and you see a perfect game. I'm like, what do you get? Like, I don't decide when they throw perfect games.
You got lucky.
Which brings us to a second story about Chris and Greg. We were going to go to the game that David Cone threw a perfect game.
We were?
And we decided we did.
I don't remember.
And we
that
decided
at all.
Not to. We were at the swim club and we were going to leave and go to the game and decided not to because the tickets were too expensive and he threw a freaking perfect game.
I don't remember that at all, but I'll tell you. So. Is that your favorite sports memory, that a game that you attended? It's got to be, right?
No.
No.
Not.
It, what
my favorite
is?
Memory. So, okay, I have two. One's a good memory, one's a bad memory.
Go for it.
So I was at the game with Rose tore his ACL. I was at the Derrick Rose ACL tear in the playoffs. And it hit me even harder because I had torn my ACL about 4 or 5 months prior to that. So, like, I knew what it was like to tear ACL. Man, I felt it. But I was also at – I was at his comeback game, which was cool. But I was also at – he hit a buzzer beater against Cleveland in the playoffs off an inbound pass. Like, fadeaway three-pointer, bank shot. I have the video of it on my phone. It was just like I get like chills like thinking about it because it was like the whole place was packed. He nails a shot. Everybody goes crazy. Oh man, it's like that's it. That's what if I can get that emotion out in wrestling, it makes me like excited like talking about it.
That's how you know you're a big time basketball fan because
right? When I'm just,
being at a perfect game isn't your best sports memory.
Right. Exactly.
When you've been there, like,
well, my perfect game is cool, but like Rose hit that buzzer beater in that game, man. And I like that's my favorite live moment. He hit a buzzer beater on my birthday against Milwaukee, in Milwaukee. So I was watching it at home, and he hit a step back buzzer beater, which was cool because it was on my birthday. So I felt cool about that. But no, the buzzer beater against Cleveland live was definitely the coolest.
Chris, you, what's the best sports game that you've ever been to?
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, it's tough, man. I've been to a bunch of cool stuff.
You're going to Rangers game? Anything really exciting?
Oh, I mean, so here's I'll pull the curtain back a little bit. My wife's cousin gets us luxury box tickets. He's a lawyer banker guy.
Yeah.
So we get in the suites pretty much probably 7 or 8 times a year for different events.
Right.
So, like, I saw a Triple G fight at the Garden while eating friggin' lobster raviolis. Like, it's pretty awesome. But I was also at a Ranger game last year that they lost, but they recognized the 94 championship team.
Oh, yeah. That's
so cool. That's up there. I was in a luxury box watching the Giants playoff game against the Panthers that they lost, but I was still there. Like, so I've had really like awesome experiences like that. So yeah, and I mean, I saw Tim Salmon hit his first career home run.
All right, Chris, wait, I got one for you. We were at that Yankee game where they were playing the Mets.
And when he dropped the ball.
When Castillo dropped the pop-up and they won, that was the best.
By the way, he's a Mets fan.
Oh yeah, I'm a Mets fan.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I have no hate for you, but I'll tell you this part about that story. There was a guy in our section in an old school Keith Hernandez jersey that was obnoxious. Like everybody, even the Mets fans in the section wanted this guy to shut up.
And one of our friends was a Mets fan with us.
No, we were there together because it was only us because we had my parents' tickets. It was only the two of us.
I thought we had Adam with us.
No, it was just the two of us.
No, maybe I was texting Adam and heckling.
Probably. We both were. So when that pop-up hit, this guy, like, you know how catchers point to the sky when there's a pop-up? Like, this douchebag was doing that, like he was playing. And then when the ball dropped, he just slumped in his chair. Some dude rolls up like a boss with their camera and just takes a picture of this dejected guy, like, right in his face. It was the funniest thing I ever saw. It was so funny and beautiful. I love that.
That was good.
But my best ones have been like great. I can remember great comebacks because I was at a Yankee game once where they were losing 10-1, and my friend and I were there, and we were literally negotiating with each other when we were going to leave because we were like, okay, if it's still like this in like the fifth or the sixth, we'll go to the bar, and then they score a couple of runs. Jeter hits a home run that makes it like 10-7, and we're like, we have to stay.
Right.
And then Posada hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth that won it, and it was the craziest game ever. And then the other one is a Ranger game that I was at. They were losing 4-1 in the third period. This was Henrik Lundqvist's rookie year. They started the third period. Lundqvist didn't start the game, but they brought him in. And they scored 3 goals in the third to tie it and won it in a shootout. And that was just an amazing, fun game to be at. That was great.
Oh, I forgot one.
Okay.
I was at the All-Star game the year Yankee Stadium closed.
Oh, that's cool.
That went like 15 innings.
Yeah.
That was incredible. I don't know how I didn't remember that right off the top of my head, but that's my point. I've been to a lot of cool stuff, and I'm lucky. We grew up, like, I've grown up in the coolest sports city in the world, and I'll argue it with anybody. You know, like, just overall, the experience in New York is just awesome.
I wouldn't debate that. Like, Chicago is good, but New York has got. What we got the Rangers, you got the Islanders, you have.
We don't count them.
We gotta count the Islanders. Who else are you gonna hate?
They're part of New York.
But it's Long Island. If you ask somebody from Long Island where they're from, they don't say New York. They say Long Island.
I know plenty of people from Long Island who like get upset if you say that they're from New York. They're like, I'm from Long Island. I'm from the island. It's like, my bad.
So what about wrestling then? Have you been to any like good Raws or SmackDowns or pay-per-views like that or anything that you can remember?
Yeah, so my first show that I went to was the Raw before Mania 23. That was really, really cool. Stone Cold and Jonathan Coachman opened the show, and Undertaker and Batista in a tag match against Shawn Michaels and John Cena to close the show. That was really, really cool. But probably the coolest one I went to was No Mercy 2007. Randy Orton started the show as the WWE champion and ended the show as the WWE champion. And there was a Punjabi prison match. And actually, if you watch Rey Mysterio's entrance, they zoom in on a kid holding up a Rey Mysterio sign. That's me.
That's awesome.
It's like, and it's not, it's just like it pans, you can kind of see me. It's like, I'm holding the sign up, I got my shirt on, my sign in my hand, and it zooms in on me, you can see me holding the sign up. And then, in 2015, I went to, I think it was Extreme Rules 2014 that I went to. And during Cena's entrance, they zoom in on, they like pan by, and you can get like a clear shot of me and my cousin. You got me in my Cena shirt watching the show. So it was cool. I got to be on it twice. So those are the two like coolest events I went to.
That's awesome. Good time.
Oh, and I went to Bound for Glory when it was in Chicago for TNA, because my dad went to school with Matt Morgan's uncle. So when they came in, my dad's like, "Well, I can call this guy and try to get in touch with Matt Morgan and try to get tickets and everything like that." So Matt Morgan got his tickets. It was like, we went to the Fan Access and met him, Xavier Woods when he was Consequences Creed. We went to Bound for Glory at the Sears Center in Chicago, and that was really cool. I think it was Samoa Joe and Sting was the main event. So that was like,
that's dope, man.
Matt Morgan was one of our friends' roommate in college at Fairfield.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Joe Angelini.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They were close. Yeah. Again, if I ever use my knowledge for good, I could actually make something of myself in this world.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here.
So you're the perfect guy to ask this next question.
Oh, man.
Deep dish, New York style.
I'm going to go New York
style. The right answer.
Yeah, good answer.
I'm going New York style. I don't mind like thick pizza, but I'm just not a fan of like, I don't like too much sauce on the top. I'm not a fan of like the sauce and then the cheese underneath it. It's just not, I don't know, it's just not for me.
Good answer.
It's fair. Yeah, it's just not. I don't like. I see how people like it. Like I've brought people from Jersey and from Long Island who like tried Chicago pizza for the first time and they really liked it. But I don't know. It's just not for me.
It's just too doughy. I can't. I need a thin crust. Yeah. I can't do it. It's nothing against it. I just can't do it.
I'm sure I'd enjoy it. I don't think it would ever like, because when I'm in the mood, I love Sicilian pizza. So I'm assuming if I like Sicilian, I'm going to like Chicago-style pizza.
Probably. Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, it's, you know, nothing better than getting a good New York slice when you're walking through the city.
Nice, greasy.
It's true.
It makes the paper plate it's on clear. That's the good stuff right there.
Let's segue back to wrestling. You know, we avoid all the cliche questions. So we're not going to hit you with any of those, but at the same time, we talked about dealing with quarantine and you not really setting goals or expectations for the short term. Long term, what's your plan to kind of take over this wrestling scene? You said you and Bowens have aspirations to be the top guys. What are the steps you have to take to get there?
I mean, it starts off with you got to get your name out there as much as possible, and you just got to make as many people aware of you as possible. My big goal would be to get over to Los Angeles to train with the New Japan Dojo. Especially myself and Bowens are huge fans of New Japan and huge fans of like the style of wrestling and the style of training and all of that. So me and him would love an opportunity to get over there and get some training done and hopefully, you know, get over to Japan to work for them, or just I mean, I know it's tough and it's hard and it's gonna take a lot of work and it's gonna be like years of just like kind of doing nothing if that's the route I'm gonna go with the New Japan route, but it's a small price to pay for something that you want that bad. So if opportunity comes where I can get over to the New Japan Dojo and train there full time and live that life and do all of that, like, I would take that in a heartbeat. It's just, who knows? There might be one day I just drop off the face of the earth on the independent scene, and that's where I'm at. So if I ever just disappear, that's where I went.
You know, it's funny, an unnamed guest that was supposed to be on our show and record with us last week sent me a DM the Friday before. He goes, listen, keep this completely kayfabe, hence why he's an anonymous guest. He goes, I'm going to a New Japan tryout for the next week, and so I'm not going to be able to do the show, but I'm going to have a hell of a lot to talk about when we do sit down.
No way.
And in my head, I'm going, yeah, you didn't even have to message me. You could have no-showed us.
That
would have been cool with it.
Yeah, it's happened before.
You know, no doubt.
we've been stood up before. We don't care. We just like, okay, I guess that guy's not showing.
No, we sit here and laugh. You saw when you came on, we were talking. We just bullshit. When we've been best friends longer than you've been alive by a decade plus.
Yeah.
I'm 39, he's 38. We've been friends since we were 5.
Yeah.
So needless to say, when we call ourselves brothers, we are, because we've been around each other that long.
Oh yeah.
You know, my little brother was his best man at his wedding. Like, it's cool as hell on our end. And getting the opportunity to hear stories like yours and be a small part of your journey is really important and special to us. So thank you for, you know, taking an opportunity to sit down and talk to two old guys about wrestling and baseball and basketball. You know, we appreciate you a lot, TJ, and we can't wait to see where it goes from here for you, because sky's the limit, man. You're super talented, steal the show on every event that you're on, and that's not just coming from me, that's coming from important people.
I try, and I'm very grateful for the opportunities that I've been given, and I'm grateful for the people who have I've been able to work with, because if I can't do it, I'm by myself. I got to do it with the guys that I'm working with. So the guys that I've been able to wrestle with, the guys I've been able to talk to, the guys I've been able to learn from, man, I couldn't thank them enough.
First off, we'd love to have you back when everything breaks, and definitely get you back on and talk. And we'll obviously continue to reach out to you to get you to do some promos for all your upcoming events, because, you know, frankly, we just like talking to guys like you. So we want to help promote you. But put out your social media, put out where people can find you, plug your pro wrestling tees, because some of your t-shirts are cool as hell.
Well, thank you for that. So you can buy, you can buy the t-shirts at prowrestlingtees.com/overtimeTJCrawford. I got the Chicago Strong Style shirts on there, and in red and in black. I got the Eric Crawford shirt. And I know we talked about the possibility of putting out a Windy City King shirt, you know, if I am to win the Cruiserweight crown. So, like I said, it's going to be a tough one with that. But, yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at TJC Wrestling. Just continue to support. And I appreciate you guys having me on, man. This has been a lot of fun.
Awesome. We appreciate that. So you can follow us at the DDT Archives on both Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me at Chris_DDTHSLB. And make sure you catch the show for Synergy, you know, July 25th at 7 p.m. on Fight TV. And watch TJ win that crown, because he's definitely our pick. All right, everybody, have a great night. Thank you for joining us on the Indie Lounge.